Heavenly Father, speak, for your servants are listening. Father, you have something you want us to learn tonight. Father, some more and more depth to learn about your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, may we come to your word not knowing it all. May we come to your word expecting. Come to your word in contrition, with our hearts bowed toward the cross of Christ. Father, as we use the word tonight to separate areas in our lives, we recognize that we are sinful, that we have fallen short. But we also recognize that while we were still sinners, you died for us. So we thank you. Father, for the honest conversation we're going to have tonight, we give you thanks. Father, for the future conversations about what it means to be dressed for Christ, Father, I ask that you bless those conversations. Father, be with the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, that they will be pleasing to you, my God and my Redeemer. And I pray this in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. So if it's one thing that I think a lot of us have in common, most of us, as I look out in here, all of us have clothes on, right? Take a look, make sure I'm right in this. We all got dressed today, all right? Now, for some of you, men, the woman in your life may have picked out the clothes for you, and that's okay, all right? This is a safe place. But the interesting thing, how many of you made your clothes this morning? From the very fiber of the clothes to the elastic to the coloring, anybody make their clothes? So you, in essence, are wearing somebody else's clothes. Someone else made the clothes, and you made the choice to put them on today. All right, I made the choice to wear what I'm wearing, and if you think about it, that understanding of clothes is kind of a big deal in our community and in our world today. What are you wearing is a common question asked when. When do we necessarily hear, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? Where do we hear that? Anybody want to take a guess? What?
When you're going out.
So whoever said that, people are really interested in what you're wearing around town. That's awesome. Because more times than not, we at award shows, right? On the red carpet. So whoever answered that, if your life is one giant red carpet, that's awesome. All right, and I want to ask a lot more questions about that for another time. But what are you wearing? Who are you wearing? It's a question that's asked when all the eyes, the spotlight of the entertainment world, cameras and everything, wants to know what they're wearing. Now, I could give you a list of names I probably wouldn't say correctly, but it's kind of a big deal. And the thing about that question is Paul is asking the church of Colossae the same exact question in his letter to them, in the letter of Colossians. All right, writing to a town in what we now know as Turkey, all right, a small, kind of strange town Colossae was. Because Colossae was kind of forgotten about. All right, a little bit of context. The roads necessarily didn't go to Colossae. All right, they did not have a Route 6. They did not have I-94. It was kind of off the beaten path. People have kind of forgotten about them. And so in a culture that is kind of forgotten about, you have to make yourself relevant. But unfortunately, even the church in Colossae was making themselves relevant for the wrong reasons and with the wrong understanding. You see, in Colossae were a lot of people thinking they knew the ins and outs of life. You had your Oprahs, your Joel Osteens, people that were giants of the philosophy world, all right, because philosophy was a big thing then, still is now in different forms, but people that thought they knew it, that would write, if they could, write the book that would end all of your problems. You'd lose all the weight. You'd have all the money. All of those same things that we struggle with today in our culture, they struggled with in Colossae, which is now, like I said, modern-day Turkey. And so Paul writes very specifically, I'm going to challenge you, brothers and sisters, and I will do it as well. Over the next week, I want you to read the book of Colossians, front to back. All right, in one sitting, it should take you 19 minutes. All right, and so I'm going to ask that you read it a couple times this week and see what, in fact, Colossae was struggling with. Because Colossae was struggling with identity. Who was their identity? What was their identity? In whom was their identity? And this evening, December 6, 2015, I think we can ask ourselves the same questions. In whom is our identity? And so the book kind of breaks up. There's four chapters. The first two chapters is pretty much a seminary and theological class, all about one person. All right, and I'll, you know, 100 points to whoever guesses. The first two chapters are writing all about who? Christ, Jesus, right? Yes, it's about Jesus getting an understanding, not a surface level understanding, but a deep theological understanding of who Christ was. He takes about 8 different views at the person of Christ. Beautiful language about the person of Jesus Christ. But then he flips the script starting in chapter 3, what we read. Because what he is saying is, brothers and sisters at Cottage Grove CRC and brothers and sisters in the Church of Colossae, if all you know is about Jesus and you've never experienced him, you don't live him out, then you only know half the story. You only got half the picture. He's saying in the first two chapters, this is Jesus. Learn about him. Soak it in. It's like drinking from a fire hose. All of the ways that he describes Christ. And then starting in chapter 3, he changes to application. Colossians makes a beautiful sermon if you could preach for 3.5 hours, but I can't. Sorry, I know some of you are disappointed. But it is now looking at this beginning of chapter 3. How do we put Jesus into practice? And the best analogy that I got that comes directly from the text is that we are dressed with Christ. The understanding that Christ has clothed us in a certain way, has given us certain attributes about himself that we resonate with in the way we live our lives. The way we live our lives in our jobs, the way we live our lives in our families, the way we live with relatives and friends that don't know Jesus. All of those are summed up in this part of Colossians in chapter 3. So a couple things we need to understand. I'm going to start again in verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself. What do you think he means by that? He literally means to clothe yourself. There's no mixed words. There's no hidden message. All right? In the Greek, enduria, all right, is what it means to put on a jacket. He's literally saying, Cottage Grove, CRC, he's literally saying, Church in Colossae, put on these things. The way you put your clothes on this morning or this afternoon or this evening, you also must put on these things. But there's a great juxtaposition there. Because he first told the church what? He told them what to take off. He not only guessed, but he had it right. He called them out for the kind of clothes that they were wearing. That they were wearing some very earthly garments. They were wearing things that someone who is a Christ follower, who knows Christ, who has the vertical relationship secured, was wearing aspects of the world that they should not be. And so we listen to the words going now back to verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Let me put this in another, more simpler term. Take this off your body or out of your closet and put it in the fire until it turns nothing but ash. Get rid. Rid yourselves is not a just for a week, just until next Sunday. No, rid yourselves eternally of these things. And you'll see the difference in the list in a second. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. He's calling it out. Hey, sinners who have been saved by Christ, stop going back to your sin. Your sexual immorality, your impurity, your lust, your evil desires, your greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life that you once lived. So let's look to this upcoming Tuesday, the council meeting, my fellow elders and deacons, you're sitting in the room and Paul comes in with you and sits down and says, Cottage Grove CRC, put to death what belongs to your earthly nature as a church. And he gives you this list. You better believe if you are the church of Colossae or you're the elders and deacons of Cottage Grove, your ears definitely would have perked up. What do you mean? Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, or greed, idolatry. No church of Jesus Christ was ever built on those things. And in the church, Christ wants to rid the church of those things. And some of you are saying, well, Jim, duh, of course, we don't want those things in there. But if we had an honest conversation over a cup of coffee, there are many churches that hold to even some of these things. And so Paul is calling them out for the sake of Christ. You used to walk in these ways. Don't go back. You're walking a new path. You're living a new life. You have Christ. Don't go back to the world. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now he gets personal. Now he's taking a look at every individual in the room and saying, okay, you may have been a faithful husband or wife. You may not have an issue with lust. You may not have an issue with greed. Okay, but that's not it. But now you must also, key word there, also, rid yourself of such things as these. And he's calling them out. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Guilty, 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 guilty. Do not lie to each other. Guilty, since you've taken off the old self and with its practices. He's even calling it out. He is saying, if you are living in the world, this is what your principles are. If you're living for the world, this is what is expected of you. Because no one got to heaven because they were moral. No, people went to hell because they were immoral. Because they were angry. Because they had rage, malice, slander, filthy language from the lips. They lied to each other. But he's calling it out. Don't put the old self back on. Keep the new self on. Keep the new clothes on. And you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the image of its creator. And I love this next. I love verse 11. Here there is no Jew nor Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. What a wonderful statement. Why do we not have that above our doors and our homes? Probably because we can't spell Scythian, and that's okay. But the understanding and the principle and what Paul is calling us to makes sense. He's saying, wherever you came from, if you have Christ, you have everything. You don't need the other stuff. You don't need the old clothes. Those should be in the fire anyway. So why do we put them back on only to get burned? He's calling that out in the church. Then he gets to 12. I'm finally going to start to preach. Therefore, it was a joke. You can laugh. It's okay. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. I love that he starts with that. He doesn't say, therefore, as God's chosen people who've worked themselves up to this rank, who have checked all the boxes, who memorized all 52 Lord's days, who knows the Apostles' Creed in Greek, he does not say any of that. He says, the God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Christ. Then he gives us the challenge. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If you have any grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. How many of you have ever had conflict with another person in the world? All right, two of you, the rest of you are liars, and we now have conflict. Why do we not forgive? Because we're self-centered and we're sinners. forgive as the Lord forgave you, that should end all the quarrels in the world, right? In wishful thinking, in heaven, which there'll be no conflict, but there is the forgiveness. Why do we not tap into that? Why, even in the way we forgive or not forgive each other, we try to put the old clothes back on? Remember, those are in the fire. Those are getting burned up. Yet we still want to put them on. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And brothers and sisters, it's not the love of the world. It's the love of Christ, a sacrificial, serving love that we have one for another. You put that on in your daily life. Tomorrow morning when you get dressed to go to work or whatever it is your Mondays consist of, if you don't remember any of this, remember love. Put on love. If you love one another, you will not be easily angered. If you love one another, if you are angry, you work through your anger, but the strength of Christ. You will not have rage. You will not have malice. You will not slander. If you truly love, you will not have filthy language on your lips. If you truly love, you will not lie to each other. Because if you truly love, you will recognize it's Christ that you are wearing. Who are you wearing? I wear Jesus Christ more than just a WWJD bracelet or a cross around my neck. I wear love and compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. And I was reading through my outline this afternoon. That was so convicting, church. Because there's so many times that's not what I wear. I wear gym. I wear my own pride. I wear anger or frustration. So this morning, if you were here and I asked you, if people can't see your joy, how are they going to see your Jesus? We're going to add to the list this evening. If all they see is your anger, are they ever going to see Christ? If all they see is your rage or your malice or your slander or your filthy language, even when the Bears lose, are they going to see your Jesus? Or how about on the flip side, when we actually wear Christ the way Paul is calling us to? When we wear our love, people will see Jesus. When we wear our kindness and compassion, our humility, our gentleness, that's a big one for me, and our patience, they will see Jesus. They will experience Jesus. When we bear with one another and forgive, they will see Jesus. And then we get to bring him to the cross. Then we get to bring the world to the cross of Jesus Christ and say, he died for you and for me, so we can love one another. It's said so simply, but it's very complex. So this evening, brothers and sisters, are you wearing the love of Jesus Christ? Is it the constant wardrobe that you wear day in and day out? Or do you hang that up and put it in the closet and put yourself back on come Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday? Or when you're working or when you're with friends that don't go to church? Are you wearing yourself or are you wearing Christ? And for some of you, it may be convicting, and you may say, oh, I really got to put to death those clothes. I have to put to death those things, and I have anxiety, and I don't know if I can do it. Paul understood that too. He understood it because he said, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful. Members of one body, you were called to peace. Look around. No one is calling you to run Cottage Grove CRC alone. You are called to do it together, to have peace with one another as members of one body. You were called. Called by who? Called by Christ. To go out into all the world, South Holland and Lansing, or maybe even the Philippines, as Brother Stan is. Whatever your mission is, whatever you are called to do, you are called to wear Christ and not to do it alone. And I love what he says, let the message of Christ, what is the message of Christ? Love. Forgiveness, sacrifice. Let the message of Christ dwell amongst you richly as you teach and admonish one another. What a beautiful thing. When we can teach and admonish. Admonish is loving correction, not passive-aggressive notes with no name on it, or emails with capital letters and signifying you're yelling at the person. Or my wife and I call e-fights. We don't do that. That we love, that we teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through what? Through psalms, through the word, through hymns, through worship and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in our hearts. And as we round third and head home this evening, I close on verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all to the name of ourselves? No. All in the name of Cottage Grove? No. All in the name of the CRC? No. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So Cottage Grove tonight, I ask each and every one of you, if you are a guest, I ask you as well, who are you wearing tonight? Who are you going to wear tomorrow morning? The world and be burned by it? I don't have the gift of prophecy, I just read the word. Or are you going to wear Christ? Are you going to wear Christ and share Christ to the world around you? Let us pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Father, your word separates. Your word separates our understanding. Father, your word convicts. Father, your word does not guilt. Your word convicts. Father, I know I'm convicted, and if there's any other, my brothers and sisters are convicted, that we would sit down, we would have conversations around your word and discern your will for our lives. Father, Paul made it pretty clear. Put to death, therefore, what is ever in our earthly nature. And God, we recognize that wasn't the original plan. The original plan was to walk with you in the garden, and it would be good always. But sin entered the world, and depravity was our end game if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. So, Father, those moments when we have a choice to put on the world in a situation and lash out at a brother or sister, or put on love in a situation and forgive a brother or sister, we ask that you would reveal to us when we should do that. Father, that that would be our guiding application this evening. That we would choose to love instead of choose the world. Father, we thank you that you say you will not leave us or forsake us, that we are called to do it together, and I thank you for that. So Father, as we read your word this week, Father, if we engage in the book of Colossians, Father, that you would open our eyes to what you have for us, that we would take it upon ourselves and change whatever needs to change, that we wouldn't do it alone, we would seek help and accountability and encouragement for brothers and sisters in our church, brothers and sisters in our family, brothers and sisters with our friends, whoever, you know, may we just strive after you day in and day out. We love you, and we pray this in your holy son's name, amen. So let us stand together with our song of response, celebration hymnal number 147, a wonderful hymn, How Great Thou Art, celebration hymnal 147.